If you will, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to read several verses here, beginning in verse 27. As has become our custom, I get to read the odd verses because I am very odd. And you get to read the even verses because you're all nice and even-keeled and a balanced, wonderful congregation of people. So join me on the even verses out loud, and I will read the odd verses by myself. Beginning in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Before we pray, I want you to go back and I want you to look at what Jesus said in verse 28. He said, And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto him, unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this. What a great question. What a great question. And as we continue on with the services today, I want that question just to roll around in your little brain. And I say little because mine's little too. We need to think about this. Do we really believe that he is able to do this? Good question. Really good question. Here we are in Matthew chapter 9, and what a group of accounts here of Jesus and the work that earthly ministry and work that he did while he was here on this earth. And I was reading through this passage of scripture, and I just thought, what a wonderful question. If you just look through, and maybe I'll put together a message like this someday, just all the questions Jesus asked. You know, I mean, think about the questions Jesus asked people. There are some phenomenal questions, right? Y'all like questions? Right? And answers, questions, answers. I can't help it. I'm an educator. I kind of like to do that kind of thing. I was a Christian school principal for 16 years. Asking questions is just kind of my business. even as a dad, asking questions. I like to ask my kids questions, things like that. But Jesus asks all sorts of wonderful questions, of course, through his earthly ministry. But as we see here, and we look at this account, and these blind men, they called out to Jesus. They followed him. He was going throughout the area there, healing people, preaching and teaching the gospel. And he gets to this place, and they meet together, and he looks at these two men. And he says to them, Believe ye that I am able to do this. Believe ye that I am able to do this. And I love their answer. They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yeah. Yes, we do believe that you are able. Able simply means having the physical power sufficient, having competent power or strength, bodily or mental, having strong or unusual powers of mind or intellectual qualifications, having competence and strength or fortitude to accomplish something. You know what? Can I tell you today? Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. We believe that you are able. You know, our entire existence is built on the ability of God. Is it not? It is. I mean, our whole substance, our whole being is built on the ability of God. You understand, we have a hymn book. We love hymn books, right? There's a song in the hymn book. He's able, he's able. I know God is able, right? I know my God is able to carry me through. He is able, is he not? He does heal the brokenhearted. He does set the captives free. He does do those things because he is competent. He's able. He's sufficient. He has the ability and strength and power, bodily, physically, mentally, intellectually. He's able. You know, these blind men, they'd only heard of him. They'd only heard about Jesus and all things. And guess what? They never saw a single miracle. They were blind. They only heard about what Jesus did, right? They never saw it for themselves. Remember Thomas? Met together. He had been there for all the preaching, all the teaching, all the prophecy and foretelling of what Jesus would accomplish. He saw Jesus crucified, right? He experienced all of that. He saw him arrested and all those things. And then he said, not till I thrust my hand in his side and put my fingers in the nail holes. And not till I do that will I believe. Hey, Thomas, what's going on? He said, oh, now I believe. He says, it's better that those that haven't seen it and believed than you that have seen it and believed. Hey, listen, these blind men, they didn't see a thing. And Jesus, I mean, what a question for him to ask these men. Hey, they just in the verses before, they followed him. They knew who he was. Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him. And he says to them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. We have an opportunity in our world today to show people that he is able. He is able. Our Lord is able. He is competent. He is sufficient and having the qualifications to accomplish this task. Can I add a word to this? He alone is able. God, our God, is able. First of all, as we look at this idea of him being able, he is able to save. He is able to save. You know what? This church cannot save anybody. Cannot. This preacher, I cannot save anybody. I have no power to do that whatsoever. You have no power to save anyone. Only he has the power to save. He is able to save. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We see in Scripture adequately that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth to live a perfect life, to sacrifice himself on the cross, and to rise again the third day and to ascend up into heaven, he is able to save. Look at verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 7. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also. also to save He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Did you see in there? The Bible tells us that he is able also to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save. He is able to save because of the very existence of who and what Jesus Christ is. He alone is able to save. Yeah. Do you know of another being perfect in existence? Having gone through all the trials and temptations that you and I have to go through, and not in one point sinned? The Bible tells us that, doesn't it? It's perfect. God's Son, the spotless, perfect Lamb of God. John told us, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. We know that Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sins. And he alone is able to save. Over in Romans chapter 4, the Bible tells us, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. This is speaking of Abraham. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, that he was able also to perform. Abraham knew. He knew that God was able to perform this. Even though he was 100 years old and his wife passed the age of childbearing, way past, he knew. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. He goes on and says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Can I just tell you today? Yea, Lord, we know you're able. We know you're able to do this. We know you're able to save. You say, what about the sinner that is so vile and so wicked and so hopeless and so undone? Yes, 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 and yes. Doesn't matter what you've done. He is able to save. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, he's able. He alone is able. For there is none other name given among heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. In John 20:31, it says, But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We know later Paul wrote, for the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter writes and says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Can I just answer the question that Jesus asked today? If we believe that He is able to do these things, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord, we know You're able and You're able to save. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He is able to save. And not only is He able to save, He's able to keep. He's able to keep. Aren't you glad that you and I are not the ones responsible to keep us saved? Aren't you glad? Because I don't know all of you so well that much yet, but I will. But I know this one. Boy, I'd have a hard time, wouldn't you? Yeah. And I'm glad I don't have to trust myself to save me. I'm trusting Him. Are you there in verse 12? Look at 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that, He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Hey, He is able to keep. He's able to keep. Oh, listen, one of my favorite passages of Scripture when I go to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ saving them and the assurity of it is in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not the words that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Aren't you glad that He's the one keeping your salvation and not you? Hey, listen, nobody can get to you. And guess what? As you are in the hand, it says no man can pluck them out of my hand. Guess what? That means the man in the hand too. You ain't getting out. Because He's keeping you. He said He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. In Philippians 4:7, the Bible says, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, I can't understand that. You don't have to. You don't have to. Through Jesus Christ and through the mind of Christ, we know that He's the one keeping us. Aren't you glad He's the shepherd? That He stands in the door? And He's the one guarding the sheep? You know, He tells us that story. It's not just a cute Bible story. It's a reality. So those thieves can't come in and steal the sheep away. He's the one watching and caring for us. You know, the Bible tells us that as Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, He maketh intercession for us. He's our advocate. Aren't you glad? Hey, listen, I'm not usually for lawyers. If there's any lawyers in here, I'm sorry. But I'm glad He's my lawyer. I'm glad He's my advocate. I'm glad He's making intercession for me.
You know what I think he is? I think he's Abel. I do. Yay, Lord. We know you're Abel. You're able to save us. You're able to keep us. I would rather have no other protector and keeper than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I like what he said in Matthew 28? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I want that guy. Yeah, I want that guy keeping me. That's who I want. You know, these people, they choose up teams, right, to play sports or do different things. And if you're doing something physical or something where you have to accomplish an athletic goal, you don't want the little feeble Barney Fife guy, right? Who do you want? How did I know you were going to do that? Yeah, that big ox back there, my son. That's who you want, right? Yeah. That's right. He's got weaknesses. Yeah, you do. Well, why would you want to trust in a sinful, wicked, cursed, no good for nothing, finite human being to keep you safe? When there's one better. There's one better. And guess what? You can choose him. You can. And you can trust him. Because he is able. In Acts chapter 20, the Bible tells us, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified." Hey, listen. Wait, it's able. Well, our minds are kept, our soul is kept, and we are able to be kept sanctified by him and his word. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of glory, of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You know what he's able? He's able to do more above and exceeding than we ever could ask or think. Because he is able. Take your Bibles and turn to John 17. I love this passage of Scripture. It is a beautiful passage of Scripture. Here in John chapter 17. John 17. And as we turn there, think about these men, these blind men. And their answer, "Yea, Lord," to the question, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Look at John chapter 17. Look at verse 9. Now, for sake of time, we're not going to read this whole chapter, but I would encourage you to do so. Picking up in verse 9, he says, "I pray for them, and I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." This is a conversation between Jesus Christ and his Father, God the Father. You understand this? "And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name.
Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Christ praying for his disciples, those that God had given him charge over. You say, but he is God. Yes, he is. What a lovely picture. What a wonderful picture that he is able to keep us. Not only is he able to save, not only is he able to keep, but he's also able to deliver. Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 3. We've been to this passage of scripture many times since I became pastor. Maybe just because I love these old Sunday school stories that we've heard for all of our youth. But over here in Daniel chapter 3, you say, this doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. This doesn't have anything to do with him being able. Oh, I beg to differ. Well, I beg to differ. Look at verse 14. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye should hear, you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now you say, see, Pastor Combs, we told you this has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. This has nothing to do with him being able to deliver. Let's read on. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Then he commanded the most mighty men that were in all his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were wrapped in kindling. They were ready to go. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, wait for it, did not we cast these three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He, Nebuchadnezzar, answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Can I tell you today?
He's able to deliver you from the fiery furnace. He's able. Do you believe that He's able to do this? Yea, Lord, I believe. Yea, Lord, we believe that You're able to deliver us. Hey, child of God, are you going to go through some fiery furnaces in your life? Yes. Do you believe that He's able to deliver you? Yea, Lord. Any yea, Lords out there? Oh, I hope you believe. I hope you believe. Philippians chapter 3 tells us, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after that if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything ye otherwise be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk also as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. You know what? As the disciples were in the boat, and the storm was raging, and they cry out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He got up and He rebuked the wind and rebuked the storm. The Bible says they marveled. They marveled. Hey, they were with the Son of God. Hey, guys, you believe that I can do this? No, Lord, we perish. Do you marvel? You shouldn't. He's able. He's able to deliver you. He's able. He is able to subdue all things. You know what Paul said? He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! You feel that way sometimes? Do you look at yourself and look at your life and say, I just can't do this? You're right. You can't. But He can. Yeah. You may not be able, but He is able. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I know the answer. Y'all know the answer? You guys would have hated me as a kid. I was always the kid raising my hand in class. Put your hand down. You've already answered 3 questions. But I know the answer. Oh, Paul tells us the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's able to deliver us, folks, from this body of this death. He's able to deliver us from the carnal life. He's able to deliver us through the trials and temptations that we experience from day to day. In Galatians chapter 1, the Bible tells us, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know who's able to deliver us? He's able. He's able. Yea, Lord. Do you believe that He's able? We believe. In Psalm 18, the Bible says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength,
in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. In 2 Peter, the Bible tells us, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just want to be an encouragement to you today and to answer the Lord's question. Do you believe that He is able to do this? Don't forget He said, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto Him, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. He's able to save. He's able to keep. And He's able to deliver. Look at verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, now Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Now, does that seem like a good thing? Does that seem like a happy time for Paul? Unhappy time. Difficult time. Dark time. He says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In closing, I referenced Matthew 28 and what Jesus said about all power being given unto Him. He's able to save. He's able to keep. He's able to deliver. He said to the disciples, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Is it going to be hard? Yes. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. Is there going to be pitfalls? Yes. Is there going to be persecutions? Yes. Is there going to be difficulties? Yes, yes, and yes. Is everyone else going to leave you and alone and forsake you and leave you behind? Yes, probably yes. But like Paul, the Lord stood with me. Jesus said and promised, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's able. He's able. Do you have an answer for Jesus today? Can I tell you something? Maybe you do not know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Jesus is asking, believe ye that I am able to do this? Believe ye that I am able to save you? Do you have an answer for Him? Do you have an answer for Him? Hey, maybe you've been struggling with your salvation. You accepted Christ, but you've been struggling with this thing of eternal security. Can I tell you something Jesus is asking today? Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you have an answer for Him? And then Christian, maybe you're going through some dark times. Maybe you feel like you're standing all alone. Maybe the trials are squeezing in on you. Maybe it seems like there's no hope. Can I tell you something Jesus is asking today? Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you have an answer for Him? I hope that in all these cases, you're like these blind men in Matthew chapter 9. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord.